Back because we wanted to be. It's Esposito.
Cheers, woo, yeah. Hey, it's me, John. I'm Jefferson Knight, your friendly human bounty hunter. Tom is away doing father things, but we're back. Isn't that brilliant news? Hopefully you caught up with our recap last week. If not, there's a little bit of it coming up just to keep you up to date with where we are now, which I'm not going to do again because that'll be three times in 2 weeks, which is too much. Thanks everyone for sticking with us, for being so patient with us whilst we took a break. Thank you for continuing to share and talk about the podcast. We really appreciate that. It's the only way that anyone else finds out about it. We have actually seen numbers going up a bit recently, which is brilliant. So thanks. Thanks very much. You're all the best. If you want to find out more about what's going on, you can look at our Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. We've also got the website, which is esposito.wordpress.com. That's it. That was a very quick intro. I'm elongating it slightly here. I hope you enjoy this. But welcome back to Esposito. Previously on Esposito.
So, yeah, you headed back to Earth.
Yep. We headed to Earth. We headed to the Infinity Core, where we were locked in a room for a bit. With Damson pretending not to be Damson, pretending to be a janitor called Scruffy. And we sort of told them everything that we knew and said to them that we kind of needed their help. The captain, Captain Mwengi, he was on board with what we were asking, and he was going to try and get support from the higher-ups in the Infinity Corps, but with no promises. And then he gave us sort of free roam of the base.
And that's kind of where we left it, wasn't it? Currently on the Infinity Core base in Nairobi on the planet of Earth. You've recently just been interrogated by Captain Mwengi, who has been relatively initially distrustful of your plans and your story, but Jefferson and Aaron, Jefferson and Damson, you made a good case for him at least hearing you out, and he has said that he will run your request up the ladder, as it were, and he'll get back to you as soon as he knows anything. In the meantime, you have been given low-level clearance of the base. You're allowed into the relatively public areas and given access to some of the facilities, including the dormitories, the armory, the hangar, and just places where you can sort of mill around. Not like the armory is in the stores, but you have access to the quartermaster. The other members of the crew, Prim and Celix, have also been released. They're free to go around the base. Korchev is not as free currently. He's currently undergoing some investigations, basically, just to verify his story a bit further, because he is a serving member of the Infinity Corps who has essentially been out of action. He's been basically disappeared about, I think it was a couple of months ago in the grand scheme of things, and he's been presumed dead all that time, KIA, along with the rest of the crew of the Callistus. So for him to turn up, they want a bit more of a debrief on that. So you have been sent out from the interrogation chamber with Mwengi, and you've kind of got run of the base. You walk out of this tiled corridor and into the courtyard. There's a dusty floor, and there is quite a warm breeze blowing around. It's a strong breeze, and you get this thick scent on the air, but you can't quite take in what it is. But the air just smells thick, like when you first get off an airplane in a warm country, and it's a beautiful day. In the sky is no clouds, but you can still see this large floating ring structure above the city of Nairobi, which is a giant part of the giant floating city. You basically have to have free reign of the base. You can see lots of different soldiers running around in formation, drilling, repairing some spaceships in the hangars, working on their weapons and their vehicles, and general hustle and bustle, really. So you have some free time to do what you will around the base.
God, Earth is horrible, isn't it?
it is horrendously warm to you, Pax. You know, this planet is where you are currently now. It's probably about 42, 45 degrees. You're really feeling this sweaty, dusty warmth coming down on you, and your clothes seem to stick to your skin, and the dust in the air gets in your eyes and your ears and your nose, and it really feels like it permeates every part of you.
Is there any place with aircon nearby?
You're asking me that?
I say to Jefferson, he must know Earth. You're from Earth.
No, I'm human. I've never lived on Earth. Actually, my first time visiting. I'm unimpressed.
I might go back to the ship.
All right. Well, you do that. I would like to look for signs to a quartermaster.
Yeah, so the armory is a squat building, almost a bit like a bunker, just at the end of the courtyard. It's got a large double doors. It's got a couple of sandbags perched up outside, and a couple of targets leaning on the wall. And yeah, you can definitely find your way in there. It's quite easily noticeable by the yellow and black stripes painted above the door.
Cool. I go in there. Anyone want to come? Anyone want to come to the armory with me? No, just me? All right.
Nah, I'm heading back to the ship.
So, you make your way across the courtyard and round the back of a small building to where you see the Luciola on the landing pad. As you walk across to it, there are two armed guards stood by the entrance of the landing ramp who, as you walk towards it, they stand to attention and step into your path. One of them looks at you and says, "Sorry, sir, the Luciola is off limits until you've been cleared to leave the base. If you're looking for some downtime, then we've been instructed to direct you to the dormitories at the end of the yard."
At ease, boys, and move out my way.
No can do, sir. We're under orders.
I will strike you, human.
If you strike me, you will have the full force of the Infinity Cord down on you within seconds, and I can guarantee you will not survive that.
How about, look, I left something on the ship. I will arm wrestle you to get what I want.
I'm sorry, sir. I must instruct you to step away from the ship. We are not permitted to arm wrestle or wager on the base, especially not on duty.
You're scared, are you?
I can neither confirm nor deny my levels of fear.
So you are scared?
I can neither confirm nor deny my levels of fear.
You should be.
If there's anything you need off the vessel, then please fill out a requisition form with the quartermaster.
Can old Rusty sort of sidle up and just try and sweep, like, packs away from the two guards, just with his little broom. Rusty gotta get cleaning. Get busy cleaning or get busy dying. That's what Rusty says. Oh, excuse me, gentlemen. Excuse Mr. Soldier, man, and Mr. Other Man with the Swords. Excuse me, Pax.
Pax just, pretends to go towards him for a headbutt.
Oh, towards the guard. I thought you meant to Aaron.
No.
Are you actually headbutting him?
No. Like, he's going to, like, flinch at them. And go, whoop!
Okay. Make a dexterity save.
That's a 9.
You throw your head forward in a mock headbutting motion, and the guard flinches back quite drastically. And he looks quite taken aback by this, quite scared. In the same movement, he brings the butt of his rifle up and cracks you square in the chin with it and steps back, pointing his gun straight at you. You take 6 points of damage.
Jesus.
And he says, "Step away from the vehicle, sir."
Pax just rubs his chin. Respect. Respect.
This is your last warning. Step away from the ship or we will open fire.
I'll be seeing you soon. And he walks away with Rusty. Is it Rusty or Fluffy?
What? Just after you're out of earshot, one of the guards looks to the other one and says, "Do you remember a Rusty? I mean, there was definitely a Scruffy, but..."
I was going to say.
Oh, crap.
Uh-oh.
Rusty's my base name. It's what they call me on base because things stop being scruffy and they start getting rusty. I don't have sex with things on base, but I'm kind of digging myself into a further hole here, so I'm just going to sweep away, boys. Sweep away.
He sweep moonwalks away.
Exactly. I'm glad I conveyed that.
So you get the feeling that there is very little way of there's very little way of getting in and out of that that ship, at least by the main ramp. It's got two sentries on it who are pretty well trained.
Fair enough. I'll go towards the quartermaster then as well.
Jefferson, you make your way to the bunker with the sandbags outside it, and the bunker is probably, you know, 2 or 3 feet below ground level, so you sort of step down to it. Inside, there is a large counter with a chain fence across it, with a hole in it. And behind it, you see a thin woman with kind of slick backed hair in a black ponytail. She's wearing desert camouflage fatigues, and has a pen tucked behind her ear. She's sort of looking at something on a clipboard as she inspects these shelves of weapons that run up and down the sides of the bunker. You get the feeling she's taking a bit of a stock.
Cool. I guess I walk in and I say, nice chain barrier you've got here.
Thanks, I guess.
I mean, I'm mostly just curious as to why it's chain and not some sort of reinforced glass or force field. It just seemed a little archaic.
Yeah, but chain breathes, you know. I don't know if you noticed, but it's pretty hot out here. I want to breathe in my own fucking bunker.
Well, that's fair enough. I mean, if you can't have what you want in your own bunker, where can you have it?
It's nice to get a breeze.
Jefferson thinks about blowing through the chain link fence and then decides better of it.
I mean, Jefferson's growing as a person.
Right? I needed to tell you that that's what he thought about doing, because otherwise you wouldn't know that he's getting better. Anywho.
Is there something I can help you with?
Yes. So, I'm not really sure how armories work, because I have some things that I don't need that might be of interest. Do you buy things?
If it's military grade and worth something to the core, we're not in the business of turning down supplies.
Oh, cool. So I have a short rifle and I have a sniper rifle, neither of which are particularly interesting to me.
She types into her computer a couple of details. She says, can I see?
You certainly can. I, from wherever I seem to be storing two separate rifles, present them.
She looks the rifles over. They've not really been fired as best she can see. They've pretty good condition, pretty clean.
Yeah, the sniper rifle was the one from the Revis's R&D facility, which was brand new and has never been fired.
Brand new with tags?
Yeah.
She types a couple of things into a small computer terminal on the bench in front of her. She looks up at you and says, I could give you 600 credits for the both.
Now, while I'm aware, I could try and haggle with you. I have no interest in doing so. 600 sold.
So, yes, so she takes the rifles off you and slides you she slides you a card with 600 credits loaded into it.
Why, thank you. Now, I'm also curious in purchasing wares, now that I have some money with which to do so. So I'm kind of going to leave it there. I need to buy some stuff. Something to improve my defensive capabilities would be good. Something to make my weapons better would also be good. What you got there?
Well, we've got the standard fare that you'd probably expect. You know, we've got some, you're thinking of different armors. We've got light armors, trooper armor, infiltration suits, nanoweave suits, medium trooper armor, centurion armor. We've even got a set of fusion armor in the back. We've got a few different things that might be of interest. A couple of combat exoskeletons, some exo bracelets, got some cybernetic arms if you're looking for surgery.
I don't know what any of this does. I guess my question is, what's better than a military jacket that I can have?
So pretty much everything's better than a military jacket.
I imagined.
You know, a jacket is essentially a thick jacket.
It's a large coat.
It's a large coat, slightly reinforced coat. Bear with me. So,
I'd imagine it's far too warm in this weather as well.
It is. You are roasting.
I'm used to the cold void of space. This is horrible.
So, if you're looking for medium armor, or are you looking for light armor?
Either of the two, as long as it doesn't restrict movement.
Okay, so a military jacket's got AC-13. That's probably possibly the best you're going to get without restricting movement.
Hmm.
In terms of stealth, the only thing possibly better than that would be an infiltration suit. Depending, what's your dex bonus, actually?
My dex bonus, I believe, is +3. Yeah, I've never increased it, so +3.
Okay, so with a military jacket, you can only use up to +2 of your dex bonus. So if it's +3... the only thing that would possibly be better would be an infiltration suit, but they're quite expensive. You know that. It's a fairly...
I mean, I can't afford it. I know that. But out of curiosity, what do they do?
An infiltration suit is just basically a very good light set of light armor. It's almost like a second nanoweave skin. It has a base AC of 12, but would give you a full dex bonus, so it would improve you.
No, that would work out the same.
Oh, it would. You're right. It would. So you would be on roughly the same. There are much better armors. Again, you would end up with disadvantage to stealth. In terms of keeping your stealth benefit, a military jacket is probably as good as you're going to get.
Yeah, that's fine. So
if you look in the general channel, I've just...
Yeah, I just saw that you shared the...
shared a couple of special items that they have on...
I am quite interested in that, the exo bracelet.
Yeah.
Is that exo bracelet? Yeah. Just because of the number of times that Jefferson's been in a void, I feel like having a breathable atmosphere on hand would be handy.
So the exo bracelet creates a bubble of atmosphere around the wearer. It can be used to keep toxic gases out, and also it can create a limited breathable atmosphere in the void of space.
Yeah. So, in the interest of keeping this short and to the point, the exo bracelet's 750. I have 650 credits. Can I give you this encrypted key card as part of my exchange?
What encrypted key card is this? She looks at it up and down, and what does it do?
It can unlock doors.
Which doors?
It's got a chance of unlocking locked doors.
Oh, she nods, and the penny drops, and she understands what it is. It's this is one of those fancy algorithm lock cards, isn't it? That tries to work out the potential locking algorithm of any lock and see if it can break through it. They're not very reliable, but they can work quite well in certain circumstances.
Yes, that's what it is.
I mean, you give me 650 in the card, and I'll give you the bracelet.
Can I get some fancy bullets as well in that deal, or is that as far as we'll go?
I think that's as far as we'll go. We don't really have many non-standard ammunition, certainly nothing that we're able to...
That's cool. I wouldn't use it anyway. Let's go with that. I'll take the bracelets. You take the card, the money you gave me for the other things. All right. Well, yeah, cool. Thank you very much. What was your name? Sorry.
Hadrian.
Hadrian, you've just done a wonderful deal with the veritable, well-known, loved across the galaxy, Jefferson Knight, a famous former bounty hunter and now a freedom fighter. So,
well, that's good to know.
You can tell your pets, your kids, your friends, your family, someone you hate.
What's everyone else doing? What are you doing, Aaron?
I thought I could wander around the base as Scruffy, you know, just pushing around a broom, which I assume I found in some poorly guarded sort of you know, janitor's closet, and sort of, you know, just get the scoop on, you know, what people are talking about in the base. You know, find out about sort of, you know, the common soldier, see what they're talking about, find out about what the tech guys are talking about if I can, maybe some of the officers, just get an idea of what's going on, how people are feeling, just get a vibe for the place, you know.
Yeah, roll a stealth.
Well, I mean, would it need to be stealth? I'm kind of just a janitor in plain sight.
I guess if you want to get close enough to listen to a full conversation, I think roll a stealth. I don't think it'd be hard. I get what you're doing.
Oh, shit, natural 20.
Oh, excellent.
I melt into the darkness. Okay. nothing but the soft memory of a broom to precede me.
You make your way into one of the restricted areas, pushing a mop and a broom around, and you come to a door that is not locked, but clearly a authorized area, and you just slide through it and carry on mopping the floors. You come to a T-junction in one of the corridors, and you can hear two guards round the corner talking. And you poke your head round quite subtly, and you can see two soldiers. One is leaning against the wall, clearly off duty. The other is making a feigned attempt to look official. He's standing up straight and looking forward, occasionally glancing to the soldier beside him. He's standing in front of a door, which is obviously on guard duty. And you overhear them speaking. And the off-duty soldier, you hear him start. Things in the city are beginning crazy. Riots, fighting. But the worst is just the accusations. Everyone turning on each other. And there ain't many Prometheans in the city, but the ones that there are going into hiding, he says. And the other soldier turns to him and says, well, what do you mean? It's a bit of an overreaction, right? Yeah, but the other one replies, but you know what people are like. Obviously, these Epsilon Shift types are innocent. I mean, Knight, he's one of us. He brought in some amazing bounties in his day. He ain't no terrorist. But the Prometheans and the government aren't us. They're denying the footage, sticking to the official line, calling for Earth to turn him over. Typical. They're just protecting Paige, the other one replies. Everyone knows he's got half the Promethean government in his pocket. The first soldier comes back to him. He insists the footage is faked by the Epsilon Shift and the technicians in the sim. They say there's enough archive footage of Paige to chop and together doing or saying pretty much anything. I heard of a riot down in Jaybird, the core down there trying to suppress a Promethean uprising peacefully, but it all kicked off, saying that the destruction of the Callistus was a declaration of war and some such. Apparently there's been dozens of attacks on both sides, hate crime and the like. All I know is that we're on high alert, and you can guarantee that Andus is too. I don't like it at all. And these two soldiers basically carry on talking. It's clear from what they're saying that there's been this huge rise in tensions between humans and Prometheans, and quite a lot of hate crime going on, and both governments seem to be on the very brink of going into all-out war between the two governments based off the destruction of the Callistus, which seems to have had quite large implications throughout these two civilizations.
Right. Scruffy, better tell the boys about this. And I just sort of mop away into the distance.
So yeah, you mop your way back out into the courtyard, and yeah, it's quite easy, you know. There's not much security going on. You're way into the base, so you managed to find your way back out quite easily.
I'm going to have a look around and see if I can find an engineering part of the base.
Yeah, so you can definitely. It's not you're in the base proper here, so definitely quite just near where the Luciola is. Behind where the Luciola is parked down is quite a large hangar. Inside you see various gunships and small starfighters scattered around. It's not particularly hard to find, and there's a lot of mechanics and crew all busying around.
Great. So if I'm going to walk up to one of the mechanics and say, excuse me, trooper, can you point me in the direction of the person who's in charge here?
Oh, well, you'll want Henderson. Chief Henderson's over there.
Thank you very much.
He points out a very short woman who's looks quite young to be in charge, you think, but she's short, kind of not the most athletically built, but she's covered in oil and grease stains and wearing a bright orange jumpsuit. She's currently got her hands in the side of a small starfighter. It's only possibly about 7 or 8 feet long, just big enough for one person. She, as you look over, she's ripping out some wires with her bare hands, just throwing them on the floor. And you can hear her loudly tutting to herself, something about the shoddy workmanship of her crew.
Okay, I walk up to her and say, Chief Henderson, I believe.
Yes, that's me. At your service.
Wait, is she Garfield the Dealer's Warlock?
Oh God, she does sound like that, doesn't she?
Do you have a crossover with the Adventure Zone where this bizarre head mechanic in the Infinity Corps is actually Garfield the Dealer's Warlock?
No, it's just when I have to come up with more voices and and something basically if I've done too many boring voices in a row, there's something out of my ass that it sounds like that. Because we've had a few boring voices, you know, so
I mean, this certainly isn't one.
How can I help? My Chief, crew haven't done a very good job.
Anything I can help with, Chief?
Oh, well, you know, the radiator's broken. The gimbal's out of line.
Can I take a look at it? Get D4 to have a look at that engine, see if he can help fix it.
Yeah, she takes a step back and you have a quick look in. Do you want to roll a mechanics check on that?
That is a 14.
Yeah, you think that the gimbal would take a little while to fix, but you managed to see the issue with the landing gear quite quickly. It's just jammed up a little bit with one of the sprockets just being a bit loose. You bash that back in, and all of a sudden there's a large hiss of hydraulics, and it lowers itself down onto the deck floor. And Henderson looks at you and says, "Gee, wow! I could use people like you. Are you new around here?"
I am. I am, Chief, and glad I could help. We're working currently with Captain Mwenge, and I was wondering if there's anything you could do for our ship out there. I'm sure you've seen the bucket of rust that's popped down. Is there anything you can do, or you and your crew, to try and make things a bit better for us?
Well, we could definitely have a look. I mean, I can't divert any real resources away from my current job without speaking to Mwenge first, but maybe we'll be able to help out.
I'm sure that won't be necessary. They seem very happy to help us.
We can definitely see if we can scrap together anything, but it would probably cost you. I mean, let me what is it you're interested in?
What could you suggest?
D4, we want stealth tech.
We do, but I don't think we can afford that.
But we want it for free.
I'll see what I can do.
D4, we want the biggest missile they have, and we want them to pay us for it.
Chief, do you have stealth missiles?
Stealth missiles? Well, we might have a few of them knocking around. They're not cheap, though, that kind of technology.
I imagine not. I think I might be getting mixed messages from my crew. Is there any way of installing some sort of a stealth field on the ship? We can figure out the missiles afterwards.
Ooh, that might take a while. We don't have much in the way of stealth tech just lying around, but I could possibly get the boys on it and see if there's any way we can help.
I thought that would be greatly appreciated. In the meantime, I can help you out with these starfighters. What do you say?
Sure. That would be great. Let me drop some numbers and try and figure out how much this would cost, because even the materials on their own won't help too much.
No, of course. But obviously, you know, parts and labor on your part and labor on my part, I feel like we can come to a reasonable, I'm sorry, guys, I can't think of the word.
Arrangement.
she walks around. She starts looking at a few different parts on her shelves. And she picks up a couple of bits and let me have a look at the ship and let me see how hard that'd be to integrate. But again, I'd need some serious money to cover these parts, or at least a credit note from the captain.
I'm sure the captain would be happy to provide. Why don't you have a look into that, and I'll speak to the captain.
Oakley doakley.
Thank you kindly, Chief.
And Ned Flanders enters the mix, apparently.
I hope she never arrives back in this game again.
Yeah, you know that we need to go back to her to find out about those upgrades, so...
So she'll definitely be back.
So yes, she carries on picking up a couple of parts, and she walks over to the Luciola and starts to have a bit of an inspect of it. And she rips off one of the side panels. She unscrews a couple of bits and pulls it open, and then starts rummaging around in what inside one of the thrusters to see how it's put together.
So one of the soldiers says, "Sorry, what is it you're doing there?" And she turns around and says, "Oh, don't mind me, boys. I'm just digging around to see how she ticks."
I mean, absolutely. Canon.
I just wanted that to happen.
You've got the likeness down.
Yeah, I say you've nailed the character pretty well.
Yeah, she might be the most fully fleshed out character we've had in any of these episodes.
Well, the fact that we can pick up on what she's like and you know, copy it means that obviously you've done a great job in creating a character.
Yeah, I was up all night.
Great work, Tom.
Thanks. It's so immersive, this podcast.
Especially when we talk about the podcast in the middle of it. I love that.
So she goes through a little rummage and she's noting some things down. After a while, she fastens the panel back up and has a chat with the two guards at the landing ramp and heads back into the ship. And she heads on to the Luciola to presumably have a look at the engines and see how they work as well. Yeah, that's about it, really. Is there anything else people would want to do while they're on base, or is it just ready to hang around?
Can I quickly go to the quartermaster?
Yeah, absolutely. You find your way back into the bunker. As you come up to the steps, Jefferson's just walking out with this, looking at this new bracelet in his hands.
Now, is there, can you see it when he... So the way I'm assuming these work is I bang them together and it creates the force field. Is there like, can you see the force field?
It's just one bracelet, but you can press...
Oh, come on. Let me have the two braces that are clanged together.
It's just two bracelets that you clang together and they create a sort of bubble around you. It's not extremely visible, but there is like a sort of flicker of air pressure if you pay attention.
All right. Well, Jefferson's just walking up, banging them together again to turn it off.
I hold up my hand. High five, human.
I high five him.
I pull out at the last second.
Oh, dude.
Guys, this is a family podcast.
You can't rely on that. The timing's not always going to work.
Later, loser, I said to him.
Jefferson like kicks some dirt as he walks out and says, "Oh man."
So, Pax, you find your way in easily enough.
Okay, cool.
You see Quartermaster Hadrian behind the desk. She's currently stacking away a couple of rifles, filing them away on the shelves behind the fence.
Hey, what's up?
Soldier, how can I help?
I'm looking for something a bit special. I take out a heavy rifle. This has only been shot once. Take out a heavy pistol. This has been shot a couple of times. Take out a heavy pistol Ravager. This has been shot a couple of times as well. I take out a hood band, which is plus one intelligence.
Yeah.
How much for all this gear?
She looks a bit taken aback by this huge stack of things that she's just put down. You've just put down on the counter. She takes a couple of minutes to eye them over and just check the quality of each one. So there's a heavy pistol, a heavy rifle, the hood band, and
another heavy pistol Ravager though.
Okay.
The one. What does that do? That's on a crit. It does something.
It's
really
band of crits, isn't it? Just pricing it up because I need to give you a deal. She looks over and says, "I think I'd be authorized to give you about 1,600 for all this."
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you can stretch to 1,800, that would be delicious.
Roll of persuasion.
Nope. That's a 3.
That would be 1,600. Best I can do, I'm afraid.
Okay. You got yourself a deal. I'm looking for maybe to change my body, if you know what I mean.
Oh, you mean as an augment?
Yeah. Or, I don't know. Have you got anything that can make me stronger?
She thinks a second, then she looks at her eyes wide and goes, oh, yeah, just the thing. And she disappears behind the shelf and she brings out a large green case, which feels quite heavy, and she slams it on the desk, spins it around and opens it up. Inside, you see a large metal arm. This is something that the boys in the lab up about a year ago, but they say it can do some pretty amazing things. But problem is no one's really come in with a suitable injury in the last 12 months to replace it with, because you know it's mainly for replacing arms that people have lost. But I guess if you were if you had a surgeon, you could definitely swap this out for whatever you've got.
Are you able to fit it for me if we were to go ahead with the transaction?
I'd say for throwing a little bit extra for the guys down in medical, I'll give you this, get this all attached up with about 2,000 credits with fitting.
I'll level with you. I have 1,822 credits. Will you do it for that?
I can definitely give you the arm, but...
As a fellow soldier... I'm sure you understand. We have a very important mission ahead of us. And I think this will be exceptionally helpful. It's world encompassing or galaxy encompassing. In fact, it's universe encompassing.
She looks up and down and you can tell she's sort of talking to you soldier to soldier. That she understands where you're coming from. Can you not just scrape together another 50 credits from somewhere? Something.
Okay, let me just have a little look what I've got. What will this flare gun get me?
Ooh, okay.
This is a very important flare gun.
I mean,
it's going to be difficult to par with it. Has sentimental value.
It's going to a good place. It's getting you a robot arm.
I genuinely cannot believe you're selling the arm.
You bastard.
Like, this is... I feel like Pax is crossing a line here. Like, decapitating Nero was one thing, but this is fucking Ozan's flare gun.
Let me just get in the comms a second. Let me get on the comms. Is anyone willing to part with 50 credits for a good cause?
Oh, well, I've just got attached to the flare gun.
I'm all tapped out, unfortunately.
What's it for, Pax?
It's for a robotic arm that I can kill people with.
Well, in that case, definitely.
Ask them what they'll give you for some space hay.
Oh, yeah. Were you throwing some space hay?
No, I mean, I have space hay. I was.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm definitely not in the market for space hay.
Oh, shame.
That's fine, Pax. I will give you 50 credits. I'm all about this team becoming less organic and more cybernetic.
Fantastic. So, yeah, the 50 credits I can give you instead of...
I'll transfer those over.
So she takes the money and she round the corner into the med labs with the arm, introduces you to a couple of the medical technicians there, puts in a requisition, and within an hour or two, you find yourself with your arm in a large machine that with lots of small lasers. Making tiny incisions and gradually, basically taking your actual arm off and then reattaching this prototype robotic arm. Can you roll a constitution check for me?
Saving or just check?
Yeah, save it, yeah.
10.
Is Pax going to die due to complications during surgery?
Please not.
Pax gets MRSA.
Can I, when I, Can I find out what they do with Pax's old arm?
I mean,
I don't like the way this is going.
You're, I mean, no, you're not really there. I guess you could ask later. See, what did you get, Pax?
I got a 10.
A 10. Okay, so this is the surgery is successful, and it's quite a painful procedure for you. When the surgery is finished, you can really feel quite sore. Really, you've lost an entire limb, but you do get some sensation back in the fingers. And as you look down, you see this replacement arm sort of encased entirely in what looks like steel, like proper Colossus kind of shit. And you can clench and unclench your fist. And you have a little bit of trouble using it at first. It takes a little bit of time to get used to, but you just about manage to get your head around it. And shakily, you leave the med labs a bit lightheaded, but the proud owner of a brand new robotic arm.
That's awesome.
I just want to make it clear that I wanted to use Pax's old arm to slap him at some point.
I knew that's what it was.
I just wanted to use it. I wanted to like slap him every now and then. And as I ran off, him yell, "Why are you hitting yourself, Pax?" That was all I wanted.
Now here's a question: do if I call my
this
sword
is masturbating, then I'm going to be really upset.
How strong is the clench? No. if I call my sword,
can it be utilized for the stranger?
if I call my sword, does it go to my dead arm, or does it
fly straight into the incinerator?
Yeah. Or does it go to my new shiny arm?
No, I think with a you would have a little bit of mental control over that, and that would come to your new shiny arm.
Love that. Okay, can I paint it?
Yeah, you can absolutely paint it.
I'm going to paint the names of my daughter and wife on my arm.
I sit there and I watch Pax as he's painting his family's name onto his new metal arm, and I say, "Hey, Pax, which is your strong arm?"
I would like Pax to just paint it a disturbingly fleshy colour, so it looks almost right, but not quite right.
I mean, which arm did you replace, Pax? Because this is going to be quite a difficult procedure of painting your arm.
I replaced
non-dominant hand.
Lady Lefty.
I imagine it's still quite difficult to do in general.
And actually, bear this in mind, actually, Pax. This is actually an important question. The arm gives +2 strength when you're using that arm.
Yes.
So do, because you dual wield, so that will make sense.
So, just a quick question. If you're using a whip sword, you attack with dexterity, don't you? Not strength.
You can, but you don't have to.
Oh, so I could attack with strength with a whip. Watch me, Nene. Yeah, well, it doesn't really matter. Like, any arm. Left. Let's say it's left. The off arm.
So, okay, so Pax, yeah. So you find yourself with your new robotic arm painting it in the courtyard of the military base.
Love that. Can I respond to Jefferson's question about my strong arm with a quick slap with my new robotic arm?
Yeah, roll an attack.
Do I not get an option to dodge? No, I guess not.
Okay. What does this make this now? Do I add my proficiency or is...
Yeah, yeah.
27.
Yeah, definitely hits.
No, I don't think that hits, actually. I bang my wrists together.
The bracelets, they do nothing. yeah, it was a roll damage on that, I guess.
Is that 1d4?
Yes, it would be, but you get your +2 to strength on that, so it's an extra damage, so 1d5.
So I rolled a 1. What does that mean?
Not 1d5, that's not. So it would be 1d4 plus your strength bonus.
Oh, well, 1 plus 5, so 6. Points of damage.
Is your strength 20 with that arm now?
My strength with that arm is 18.
18.
So it's plus. Oh, it's +4. Sorry, yeah. So it's 5. Yeah, 5 points of damage.
5 points of damage to Jefferson's face as you get backhanded by this giant metal arm.
You need to learn the meaning of escalation and when it's appropriate, is all I'm going
to
say.
Don't ask stupid questions.
I also feel we could apply that to so many situations this party gets into. So basically, just so you're all aware, the arm gives plus two strength when using that arm, plus one to AC if that arm is free and he can see the attack coming. And also,
can I just check when you say when that arm is free?
When it's not bound or something, like he can still be holding his weapon.
All right. Okay, cool.
And it can cast Force Bolt at will out of the palm.
Oh, what? He gets a magic power?
Yeah, man.
What's Force Bolt?
Is it like Witch Bolt?
It is not. Do you want me to elucidate on Force Bolt?
I feel like Michael needs it so that he knows what he can do with his arm.
An energy beam shoots from your hands, striking a creature within range and exploding on impact. Make a ranged channeling attack. It uses Dex as the attack stat. Make a ranged channeling attack. On a hit, the target takes 1d10 of force damage.
That's pretty good.
That's great.
And then that goes up based on your level.
So your attack modifier will be... Oh, so is it still 1d10? We're level 6.
Oh, so it'd be 2d10.
Yeah.
So you've got... Basically, it gives you a ranged force attack of 120 feet range.
Oh, when did we level up? Have I missed something? I thought we were still level 5.
Oh, no, we are. Sorry. Yeah, we're level 4. 5.
5.
So it's 2d10 force damage. And my attack for that would be my proficiency as well, or just rid of the dex?
Yeah. You'd be fine with that.
Okay.
And it, yeah, basically fires force beams out of your hand.
That's fucking awesome. I think that's going to come in handy.
Hey. And that costs an action. It can't be used as a bonus action as your second attack, though.
Oh. In that case... Retcon, can it be my right arm?
Yeah, sure. you just go back into the med center like, is the old arm still there?
I suppose it doesn't matter. I can attack with that first and then use my bonus action to attack my right arm anyway, so it doesn't really matter. So keep it as my left.
Yeah,
retcon again.
Doesn't change too much, really. The main thing is whether it adds strength to your offhand attack or your main hand attack.
Sure.
Cool. So is that everything kind of everyone wants to get done at the base?
Yeah, I just need to go.
I guess I would just kind of want to wait around for Mwengi.
There was one other thing that I wanted to try and do.
Yeah.
If that's cool. Well, like, you know how, like, you know, like Scruffy was kind of wandering around the base.
Yeah.
And obviously we're going to need to get some officers on site to convince them to like sort of run the blockade and like help us out with the Shattered Tower. So I was hoping I could basically be, you know, that like side character in like Channel 5 movies where there's like just a janitor out there who's you know, never really confirmed whether they're vaguely magical or not, but offers sage advice to the spoiled main characters to be like, well, you see, you know, I basically want to try and be that guy, just try and get some like some of the officers on our side. Like, you know, maybe some of them are like, you know, having struggles at home. Maybe, you know, maybe one of the generals are trying to connect with their daughter, or maybe another like there's a captain going through a messy divorce. Yeah, you know, and I'll just run around sort of being the magic janitor.
So you can definitely try and make your way around some of the various areas where some of the soldiers are congregating, for sure.
Can Jefferson join in with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, what are you specifically going to try and do?
I'm just going to try and locate like officers that are maybe struggling with something or like having a hard time, and just, you know, Scruffy's going to go over there and just solve some problems or offer some advice, and then, you know, when it comes to asking around for help later on in the line, people will be like, "My boy Scruffy needs a hand. Taught me to connect with people. Taught me how to communicate." Yeah.
Jefferson's going to take a slightly different approach, just so you know, where he's going to more sort of join in with conversations in the rec area bar.
Okay.
And just talk to people about what's going on. Basically the same argument that he made to Mwengi about, yeah, maybe going into this fight is going to start a war with the Lorendi Imperium, but the war's coming no matter what, and acting earlier is going to save lives.
Okay, and here's a question. Are you If you're in the bar area, are you going to spend anything, buying any drinks or anything like that, or are you just sort of joining in with conversation?
Yeah, I think when I'm engaging in a conversation with an officer, because you should be able to tell an officer by the pips or the stars or I don't know what particular shape they use to distinguish rank, but you should be able to distinguish rank. So when he's talking to an officer, he's going to buy them a drink.
Okay, so firstly, Aaron, can you roll me an insight check?
Sure can. That is a 12.
A 12. Okay, so you managed to find a guy who's sort of sat in the corner by the name of Flight Sergeant Ortega. He's looking pretty down. The first thing you notice after a while is that he's been swilling the same half a drink round the glass for quite a while, just looking into it. And he looks pretty down at the moment. And you could definitely go over and.
So I'm gonna sort of mop over to him unobtrusively, and sort of like, you know, quite slowly, just so he doesn't really kind of notice me, kind of like going near him. And then as I get there, I'm gonna say to him, "Looks like you're getting to know that drink there awful well, Flight Sergeant."
Sorry, do I know you?
Oh, don't mind me. Everybody knows me, but nobody knows me well. You see, everybody calls me Scruffy. I'm just here, round and about, just cleaning up messes.
I mean, I could use some help with that, but is there something that I can help you with? I'm having a drink here.
What sort of mess do you need cleaning up, my friend?
So you end up in a bit of a conversation with Flight Officer Ortega. I'll base this. I'm trying to think. Roll. I don't know what the best skill for this would be. A friendliness skill.
Persuasion.
Yeah, I guess you're kind of persuading ish. Yeah.
Perception.
Yeah, I would say just roll a flat persuasion on that.
Okay, so that is an 18.
Okay, so you end up having a bit of a conversation with him also about 20, 25 minutes. He's, it seems quite banal at the end of the day when, after what you've been through over the last couple of months, his daughter is has moved out and moved in with some guy he definitely doesn't approve of. You know, she was learning to be a concert flautist, and she's throwing it all away to go join in with this guy who's head of some kind of hover bike gang out in the dunes. Yeah, he's had a pretty tough time of it. He doesn't really know how to deal with it, and you don't really come up with many solutions, but you definitely can feel better for the. Feel better for the drink, and what is it that you kind of want to impart on him?
Just it needs to be kind of a cleaning based metaphor. So it's like, so sometimes it's just about being there to clean up the mess rather than stopping the spill. You know, something like that. Something you could stick in a Hallmark card. Like I say, Channel 5, baby.
That's beautiful.
All feeling like Morgan Freeman just swooped in to solve someone's problems.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
does he awkwardly work in the movie title for a really niche reference? Yeah. Bit of Britannic title. For anyone that was big on YouTube in the early millennium.
The thing is, John, is YouTube's bigger now than it was in the early millennium.
Yeah, I know, but you had to be listening. You had to be watching specifically around the early millennium to catch Britannic at their height,
their heady peak,
their heady peak of probably earning about £20.
Yeah.
Dollars for the Americans. That's $25, £20. Just a conversion there for you.
What about our South Korean listeners?
I honestly don't know if it translates.
you feel like you muster up a bit of support with him at the very least, and you know he's an officer level, so you feel like he's probably there. And you might, if it comes down to it, you might have a favor stored there in future.
Excellent.
If you ever want to. Possibly call up on him. John, are you doing the same?
Yeah, so my thing is actually, assuming that I've managed to speak to Damson, I'm going to be sat at the bar, and every now and then when someone high-ranking enough to catch my attention walks in, I'm going to try and start conversation with them around the rising tensions with the Prometheans, and sort of bring the conversation around to the fact that actually the Prometheans aren't really at fault. It's Lorendi, it's the Fist of Gral that are stoking these tensions, and all of the aggression has been pointed in the wrong direction. Sort of trying to win them round to that way of seeing things.
Okay, roll a persuasion check yourself.
Okay, that's a 17.
Cool. I like this. So yeah, you managed to catch a couple of officers and start up a conversation and send the conversation in this direction. You get the feeling it is a mixed bag. You know, as with anywhere, there are people who are instantly jumping towards blaming things they don't know. There is definitely some left-wing and right-wing sentiments mixed around, and there's no unified hatred or unified love on either side. The ones where you do...
Can I sort of, as a well-known human among humans, sort of rely on that sort of celebrity background to add a little weight to my argument?
Yeah, they do know you, actually. As their servicemen, and they're kind of up on... soldiers, even soldiers of fortune of any note, they do know you, and the ones who do blame are quite heavy on blaming the Lorendi, on the Prometheans. They do hear you out. They do hear you out, and there's definitely a couple of people who take what you're saying on board, and they shouldn't judge too harshly initially. You do get one or two people who ask you how you know about this, and they raise the query of whether this is confidential information, whether it's classified, because they've not heard anything. Quite a few people, you know, assume you're just talking out your ass, because if this was true, they would have heard it, because they're actually high-ranking members of the Infinity Corps, and you're not.
At which point, when they say that, Jefferson's reaction is just to smile, raise his eyebrows a little bit, and then order them another drink.
Okay, I can get on board with that. So, yeah, so you don't feel any immediate benefit, but you've definitely sown some seeds there.
Okay.
You've definitely sown some seeds around camp, leaning a few key people, maybe not as explicitly as towards being blaming the Lorendi and not the Prometheans, but possibly for a little bit less quick to judge.
Yeah, I think my aim was to, if they are presented with the actual situation as we've presented it, they will suddenly be like, oh, that makes a lot of sense now. Now I get it. He was talking some hard dick. That's a reference to an old Marvel comic strip, by the way.
I like how you're explaining all of your references today.
I know. I don't know what's going on with that.
Every reference you've made today, you've instantly just outlined where it was from, when it was from, and what medium you'd need to ask to obtain that reference.
I think it's just because I want to undercut any seeming sort of subtlety or wit.
I think you need to save these for the audio commentary, John. the audio commentary on an audio format.
Okay. So you can't get back onto the Luciola, and it comes to about 10 or 11 o'clock, and you still haven't heard back from Mwengi. So that kind of leaves you with only really dormitory to go to. And You find your berth quite easily and bed down for the night in this long Full Metal Jacket style dormitory. You wake up, and after a long, hot, sweaty night on lumpy mattresses and itchy sheets, you drag yourselves out of bed. The room is swelteringly warm, and the light is shining through the windows, illuminating all the thousands of dust particles floating in the desert air. There's a loud creak at the end of the room as the door opens and three soldiers abruptly walk in. The one on the left stands to attention quite rigidly and bellows, "Tinnit!" And he looks around expectantly at the group.
What time is it? You there. Standing one, the time?
600 hours. Time to get out of bed, maggot.
What 100 hours?
At the end of the room, you notice like a young cadet stands to attention, staring straight forward.
Tax immediately does the same thing. He stands to attention.
Wait, hang on. Wait, you said that something 100 hours.
Scruffy throws a dustpan at him.
At who?
At the guy who's coming in shouting 600 hours.
Yeah, yeah. You said something 100 hours. Now, let me be very clear. There are 24 hours in a day. 600 hours.
We may have been asleep for a very long time.
You're saying it's the future. Why would you say it's the future when clearly for you it's the present? What time is it?
The soldier on the left walks over to Scruffy, who is sort of half lying down, and again, with the butt of his rifle, bashes Scruffy on in the nose. And Scruffy, you take 6 points of damage.
All right, let's all very quickly pause. No one's answered my question about the time in a sensible manner. You've just hit my friend. Admittedly, he threw something at you. That's not okay. But at the same time, we're not soldiers. Pax accepted. He's a soldier. We're not soldiers. Don't treat us like soldiers. You don't pay us. You are not allowed to just hit us for no reason. Let's be reasonable here.
It was quite an extreme response to a dustpan.
You could maybe use a lighter tone. Maybe bring us a coffee. Knock.
Maybe he's just annoyed that the janitor's sleeping in the soldier's barracks.
Well, that's creating a meritocracy that I don't really agree with. So let's sidestep that issue.
The officer in the center looks at you and says, as long as you're on this base, soldier, you'll be treated as a soldier and you'll behave like a soldier. If you don't like that, save it for your memoirs.
I'm sorry, you're not conscripting me. That's not happening. You can't treat me like... Just because you're a soldier doesn't mean you get to treat me like a soldier. Because in that case, I'm going to treat you like a civilian.
Just while the soldier's got his back to Scruffy and he's speaking to Jefferson, Scruffy's just going to rise out of the bed like Nosferatu, and he's going to like just stand directly behind the soldier and just whisper more to himself than anyone else, time for Scruffy to take out the trash. And he's going to like karate chop the guy, like Vulcan nerve grip him, and just try and just knock him the fuck out.
Do
I get sneak attack as well, because he's not focused on me?
Yeah, you'll definitely get a sneak attack. You'll have advantage on that sneak attack, because he's not quite expecting it.
Damn it. This is not how things should go.
Yeah, this ain't going to end well.
That is a 24 to hit.
It definitely hits.
And I did 12 points of damage.
Okay. And what were you doing that with?
Just with my hand.
Oh, wow, that's 12 points. Pretty good for unarmed.
Yeah, I've got 3d6 sneak attack damage.
Nice. Okay. Roll a perception check.
That is a 14.
Okay. As you bring your hand down onto sort of and strike him on the back of the neck, his shoulder, his collar, where he's sort of wearing this dark brown sort of camouflage shirt, it feels oddly smooth. The material feels wrong. He stumbles forward and he looks back at you. While you've been doing this, could who's not been focused on this, Pax and D4, could you also roll a perception check?
19
as well.
Okay, that's pretty good. The officer in the middle, you've noticed that he's actually left the room. You hear a little click behind him from the door as he leaves. The other soldier, you've noticed he has walked over towards the ensign at the end, the cadet. The one that you've hit, Scruffy, he stumbles forward and spins around at you, and you see a strange smile on his face.
Now let's hang on. Sorry about that. This is unnecessary. Everyone's overreacting. You overreacted to him throwing things at you. Let's calm down.
Pax, with his hands behind his back in his position, calls both his swords into his hands, but tries to hide them like down his legs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. D4, are you doing anything?
Just observe at the moment.
Just observe, okay. What are you observing anything in particular?
The doorway where the officer left from. D4 doesn't like this.
As you look around, you see the soldier with the cadet at the end of the room. You look up and see that the cadet has actually gone back to bed. He's lying down, sort of facing away in the bed. And the other soldier is now facing towards you with a small dagger in his hand.
Whoa, now, hang on.
So you want to play rough, is that it? I'm saying this to the big guy who I hit.
Why is everyone insisting on fighting? Why has that guy gone back to sleep?
They've been sent to kill us, Jefferson. Get with the program.
Wait, but...
The soldier in front of you, Scruffy, he lets out another small laugh and says, funny how the janitor is the one with the most brains about all of this. As these two soldiers whip out, one of them's already holding a poison blade. The other one pulls out a wrist blade from his belt and points it towards you, Scruffy. Can you all roll initiative?
Dun, 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 dun.